Joshua chapter 24, starting at verse 1. The covenant renewed at Shechem. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, lived beyond the river Euphrates and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his family went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out. When I brought your people out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the wilderness for a long time. I brought you to the land of the Amorites who lived east of the Jordan. They fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them from before you, and you took possession of their land. When Balak, son of Zippor, the king of Moab, prepared to fight against Israel, he sent for Balaam, son of Beor, to put a curse on you. But I would not listen to Balaam, so he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you out of his hand. Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did also the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, and Jebusites. But I gave them into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you. Also the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil and cities you did not build. And you live in them and eat from the vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the river Euphrates and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Liz. Liz had about 15 seconds of preparation before that reading, by the way, so very impressive on the names of the tribes. Well done. Let's pray. Lord God, this is your word. It is truth, unchanged and unchanging. Help us receive it as your word, believe it as your revelation, understand it by your spirit, and embrace it by faith. We ask in Jesus' name for your glory and our good. Amen. Well, as I've said last week, we heard words spoken to a people in the desert, and I welcome Jackie and Norwar to our service this morning, and we will hear from you in a little while, Jackie, if that's okay. Welcome. Well done.
Yeah, we couldn't get through. All the roads are blocked up.
The Birmingham, the Greater Birmingham Run, I think. So we welcome you this morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And we will invite you to come and speak with us in just a little while. Thank you. So last week we heard words spoken to the people in the desert. You are loved and you are blessed. You are loved and you are blessed. And because you are loved, go and love. Because you are blessed, go and be a blessing. And it's been wonderful for me this past week to hear some stories of that in action over this past week at the place of welcome on Tuesday, at home groups on Wednesday and Thursday, and in other places around, in as people have been out and about this week, being a blessing to others. And this morning we continue in this series of the Bible's big story. And we're going from the start of the Bible right through to the end. And this week, the people who were in the desert are now in the promised land. They've reached the promised land. They've crossed the River Jordan with Joshua leading them, and they've entered into the land. And now, some years later, they've settled down, and Joshua has called them together to speak his last words to them before he dies. And we drop in here, the reading that Liz read for us, we drop into this powerful moment in the life of these people, an emotionally highly charged moment, and Joshua is speaking his final words. And I wonder if you noticed the verse 1 that was read, page 239, where they were assembled. Joshua assembled the people at Shechem. And I wonder if you have any memory of that, because back in early September, we read Genesis chapter 12, and we heard Abraham being called by God, and Abraham obeyed, and he went to the land that God had called him to, and when he got there, God spoke to him. And in verse 6 of Genesis chapter 12, God promised Abraham, "To your offspring I will give this land." And Abraham built an altar in that place where he heard that promise. And that place was Shechem, this place that they are now back in. So important that we get the big story picture in our heads. It's so significant that God's people are now back in the place that Abraham first heard that promise. And there are two questions that Joshua poses to the people of God as they are here on at the end of the book of Joshua. And on the green slip of paper, which you might have found, perhaps have got a copy of one somewhere near you, these two questions are on there. It may be helpful for you to scribble notes on here, or to just ignore it altogether, or use it as a bookmark this week, whatever you'd like to do, if it's helpful for you. But there are two questions on there that Joshua poses to the people here in chapter 24. And the first one I want us to look at briefly is this. Joshua asks them to look back and ask this question: what has God been doing? Between verses 2 and 13, Joshua takes this moment as a moment to pause and think and reflect, to look back and ask, what has God been doing amongst us? Now, it's wonderful to have Jack, despite the traffic and despite the marathon, to have Jackie Wells, who was with BMS in Thailand, and Norwar, who is working with the Thailand Karen Baptist Women's Union, here with us this morning. As you, most of you will know, Liz and I spent some time in Thailand, and that's where we met these wonderful people. And one of my first contacts with them was when the Karen Women's Work were celebrating 125 years of the good news of Jesus among the Karen people. And they chose a Bible verse for this occasion. And it's on the screen behind me. It's Psalm 126 and verse 3. I don't know if you remember this verse. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Or, in Karen, Yua mata ado tapa le bovo do bethaku le acholo. How was that? Okay, not bad, said Jackie. Okay, not bad. But this was used by the Karen women for that whole celebration to say, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. And they taught me so much about seeing God at work and joyfully responding to that, even in the middle of hardship, even in difficulty, even in struggle, to see God and respond with thankfulness and joy. And that is what's happening in Joshua chapter 24. Here is a summary of the big story of the Bible in just a few verses. Did you notice, as Liz was reading, verses 2, 3, and 4 are the book of Genesis. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Esau ends in Egypt with Joseph. Verses 5, 6, and 7 summarize the book of Exodus. Moses and Aaron leading the people out, crossing the Red Sea, and ending in the desert that we saw them last week. Verses 8 to 10 tell us the story of Numbers. And verses 11 to 13 is the story of Joshua so far, how the people crossed the river Jordan into the promised land. But here's the thing that's really struck me this week. God is the one taking the action. If you look over those verses now, again and again, God speaks, I took your father Abraham in verse 3. I gave him Isaac. I sent Moses and Aaron. I brought you out of Egypt. I delivered you. I gave you a land. Not what you did, says God, but what I did. Not what you did, but what I did. And God, keeping his promise to Abraham, being faithful in this place that the promise was first made. Why does Joshua think it's so important to get the people to look back and ask, what has God been doing? I think it's to help them hear this voice saying, not what you did, but what I did. And the story of God and his people today is exactly the same. We come this morning, we celebrate communion, and we hear this voice of God again say to us, it's not what you did, it's what I did. And when things are going well, when the church is growing, when life is good, when business is booming and the sun is shining, we need reminding this is God's work and not ours. How easily we forget and begin to congratulate ourselves or others, and we lose sight of what's central. God saying, it's not what you did, but what I did. Asking, what has God been doing? But maybe even more importantly, when things are going badly, when life is hard, when we're in that desert place, when the clouds are gathering and raining and the roads are closed, we need reminding. This is God's work, not ours. How easily we forget and we begin to blame ourselves or others, and we lose sight of what's central. Not what you do, says God, but what I do. What has God been doing? Joshua urging God's people at this critical moment to look back, to pause, to ask, what has God been doing? And this morning we're going to celebrate communion together. We're going to hear from Jackie and Yulabe and Norwar in a moment, and then we're going to celebrate communion together. But we have this opportunity to think in my life, in our church's life, in the days and weeks and months and years and decades and centuries before, what has God been doing? And we'll do that as we go through the service. But there's a second question, and I'm keeping saying this because I'm prompting you that I'll ask you up in a minute, Jackie and Noah. The second question, who will we serve? Joshua turns in verse 14 from the past into the present and the future. And in verse 14, having seen all that God has done, what will our response be? Joshua urges them, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away all the gods your ancestors worshipped. And maybe there's a surprise for us there. Why is Joshua telling the people to throw away other gods? Surely these are God's people. Well, clearly, even amongst God's people, there were other gods being worshipped. And Joshua urges them to turn from those gods to the one true God. And we have this wonderful statement, don't we, at the end of verse 15, that we know well. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. What a wonderful statement of faith and commitment that Joshua makes, and an example that he sets for us. But I wonder, as we hear those words, how do they affect us here this morning at Harborne Baptist Church? Who will we serve? And did you notice for Joshua that there's no neutral ground? Either you're serving God or you're serving another God. Verse 14, you choose this day whom you will serve, says Joshua. If not this saving God, then the gods your ancestors served or the gods of your culture that you're living in now. The gods of the past, the gods of Abraham and his father Terah, or the gods of this contemporary culture where you are now. Everyone, according to Joshua, is serving some sort of God, whatever form that takes. It's not have faith or don't bother. You're serving something or someone. The God of materialism, of appearance, of popularity, of fame, of comfort, of things. The gods of our ancestors or the gods of our contemporary culture. There is not a neutral option, according to Joshua. But if you choose, as Joshua urges us to, if you choose to serve God, what does that mean for us today? Well, we don't serve God as if he needs our service. After all, this is the God who called Abraham. This is a God who gave him a people when there was apparently no hope. Abraham, remember, was 75 years old when he heard that first promise. But God brought that people. God brought them out of Egypt. God delivered them from their enemies. Not what you did, but what I did, says God. God doesn't need our service. We don't serve God because we feel sorry for him. And we don't serve God as if we try and persuade him to like us more. It's so important in this story to see that God brings his people out of slavery and then gives them this covenant. We don't serve God grudgingly or complainingly or with half-hearted, sulking hearts. God is the one who says to us, you are loved, you are blessed. It's not what you did, but what I did. So at the end of his life, Joshua speaks these words, asks these questions of the people of God. What has God been doing? Who will we serve? And as the chapter goes on, if you look to the end of the book, Joshua will make a covenant with the people, a restatement of the covenant with Moses, and then Joshua sends the people off and Joshua dies. Well, this morning, as we gather here, we remember how Jesus, at the end of his life, spoke to the gathered people of God. He spoke of the coming Holy Spirit who would be our comforter and our teacher. He gave us a new commandment to love one another. And he took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Look at what God has done. What has God been doing? And then he took a cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." And this morning, as we receive this, we have the question before us, who then will we serve? Who will I serve? Jesus poured out his blood for me. Who will I serve? And we come to communion, we have that opportunity to pause and reflect, to look back. What has God been doing? In Jesus, as we see at this table, in the days, the weeks, the months, the years gone by, what has God been doing? But we don't stay in the past. We look to the future. Who then will we serve? Will we serve God? Whether we're long-time followers of Jesus here today or just interested observers or not really sure what we think, who will we choose today to commit our lives to?